个苏台。我并没有中上风，也不是白雪公主老友记，为什么一天到晚打喷嚏？这事情太稀奇。就个苏台，难道有谁惦记我？在哪里怜悯带心把我的？所以我一天到晚打喷嚏，打一个不停息。就个苏台，上个星期有一位小李，小李跪下了他的双膝，他一定要我同意认识这城里。就是那小鸡，小鸡也对我提出微信，非要我爱情专一，要和他在一起。
一定就是大笨娘在那里怜悯带心把我牵牵，所以我一天到晚大笨牵牵打一个不停歇。
啊啾，葛斯泰。
也对我提出微信，非要我爱情专一，要和他在一起。
一定就是他们俩在那里怜悯带心把我牵牵，所以我一天到晚打喷嚏，打一个不停息。恰恰恰恰恰恰恰。
Hospital bed. I should have had an operation, but I'm waiting here instead. The floor's dirty and the paint is peeling. And there's piss and shit and blood and semen dripping from the ceiling. My chest pain's getting worse. And I really need a bypass, but the Filipino nurse says that it's all Tony Blair's fault.Because he let the NHS get into £5.7 billion of debt. And he's holding up my bypass, whoa. Tony Blair is having a top laugh, whoa. And I really need a bypass, oh. Or I think I'm gonna die, boss. I think I'm gonna die, oh shit.Tony can't afford the NHS no more, 'cause he's paying for the Olympics and another bloody war. And I wouldn't say I'm an expert in political anthropology, but unless he starts investing, I'm gonna have a coronary, 'cause my heart is getting worse each day.And the only thing they've given me is MRSA, 'cause there's nothing they can offer when the nurses hand the drugs out. And it's not like Curry on films when they always get their jugs out. And he's holding up my bypass, oh. Tony Blair is having a top laugh, oh. And I really need a bypass, whoa.Or I think I'm gonna die, boss. I think I'm gonna die. We're all gonna die a painful death. There's nothing left of the NHS. We're all gonna die a painful death. There's nothing left of the NHS. We're all gonna die a painful death. There's nothing left of the NHS. We're all gonna die a painful death. There's nothing left of the NHS. We're all gonna die a painful death. There's nothing left. And he's holding up my bypass. Whoa. Tony Blair's having a top laugh. Why? And I really need a bypass. Why? Oh, I think I'm gonna die, boss. I think I'm gonna...
He's got the hospitality blues.
Back about a couple of months ago, I had a little touch of lumbago, and I called my doctor to see what he'd suggest. Well, he said, man, it's plain to see the hospital's where you ought to be. What you need is good old-fashioned rest. The woman that admits you said I was late, she turned around, said, have a seat and wait, and that's what I did for 2 hours and a half. Now, this making you wait, they got perfected. I got the feeling I was being neglected till this man came up and said something about private or staff. From the questions he asked in our interview, I figured he was sent by the revenue, and if I couldn't have talked, I don't reckon they'd let me in. When he found out about my financial affairs, a nurse came in and took me upstairs and gave me a bed in the ward with two other men. She gave me this hospital gown to put on. I figured she must not have thought I was grown. The thing is so short, I had to leave on my pants. When those other two men said what they had, the chances of getting any rest was bad. One had consumption, the other St. Vitus dance. Just about time I got settled in bed, this boy in white walked in and said, I'm Dr. Smith and I gotta run some blood tests. I said, wait a minute, there's some mistake, my blood's all right, I got a backache. We had a big argument and I came out second best. After he'd taken all the blood I could spare, he got a sheet of paper and he pulled up a chair and he said, what brought you here? I said, my 35 Ford. He asked me a million questions or more about all the sickness I'd had before, and every question I asked him, he just ignored. Ain't Susie died of dropsy, but I don't know what that's got to do with my lumbago. And the questions he asked about my private life made me mad. When he finally got off that talking jag, he pulled out a little black doctor's bag and gave me the awfulest physical I ever had. Well, he beat me with a hammer and tickled my feet and did some things I better not repeat. About the time he finished, another boy in white walked in. I found that he was an intern there. I want you to know he pulled up a chair and we went through the whole doggone thing again. Well, the next 4 hours after his exam, I got a brain wave and a cardiogram, an x-ray of every bone in my body, I reckon. When they fixed my tray, they thought I was on a diet that wasn't enough to keep a small bird quiet. It's made to taste so you wouldn't ask for seconds. As if I hadn't seen enough action, the doctor came back and put me in traction. The weights were so heavy they pulled me out of bed 3 times. By then my back was really hurt, and when they put me on a board, I knew for certain their definition of rest was different from mine. Well, they left the room and I was dozing off when the man with consumption started to cough and the other fella started having some sort of a chill. Well, they finally got quite a dozed off again. A little while the nurse was back in, she woke me up just to give me a sleeping pill. When I came to, I thought I was in a tomb. They was taking me to the operating room. I figured if I didn't talk, my goose was cooked. Well, it took me quite a bit of yelling and cussing to make them realize they had the wrong person. I was fighting to get my arms and legs unhooked. When I jumped up from there, I must have looked cute running down the hall in my birthday suit, but I wasn't worried about my dress not being formal. I got to my room and put my clothes on. Without a goodbye, I headed for home, and after 2 months, I still ain't back to normal. Now, if it offers any sort of consolation, if you're half dead or need an operation, then go ahead, man. You got nothing to lose. But if just a little rest is all you need, then if you go there, it's guaranteed you'll get the hospitality blues.
I woke up last night and I thought I was going to die. I woke up last night and thought I was going to die. Oh, say. My doctor came a-running and my family stood by. Well, now, say. He left 3 pop pills for 10, 2, and 4. He left 3 pop pills for 10, 2, and 4. Hey, man, when they hit me, I landed in the middle of the floor. Ah, say. dock and I couldn't get near the shack. A loaded man. I went to see old Doc and I couldn't get near his shack. Yes, sir. They were creeping through the front door and bobbing right on out the back. I'm telling you, I waited 8 long hours just to knock upon his door. I waited 8 long hours just to knock upon his door. I came to pay my bill and brought money for 100 more.
Got ring around the collar and dandruff in my hair. I'm tired all the time, don't feel like going anywhere. Excess gas in my tummy keeps me all tied up in knots. And every time I go to work, my joints ache a lot. But there's a pill for that, according to my TV. If it doesn't kill you, your life can be carefree. But it has some side effects. You'll lose your hair and get fat. But hey, wait a minute. Now there's a pill for that. I just can't sleep at night. My old back is stiff with pain. I got a bad taste in my mouth and a headache in my brain. I'm falling all apart and I find it hard to hear. But there's a pill for that and I can take it with my beer. Yeah, there's a pill for that according to my TV. If it doesn't kill you, your life can be carefree. But it has some side effects. You'll lose your hair and get fat. But hey, wait a minute. Now there's a pill for that. Now there's a pill for that.
Foot amputated.
The doctor had compassion. He tried to cure my disease. I was sweating on the way to the op room. Gave me sedatives to put me at ease. They put me on a gurney.
Amputated.
Hey, you should have cut the other knee. Take a bow.
You got the wrong foot amputated.
Hey, that leg was fine. You mean to tell me that this stuff happens all the time? Hey, this ain't my day.
Okay, Mr. Johnson, I see you're here for the irreversible vasectomy.
Oh.
Well, we'll just get you shaved right here. This might sting a little bit.
Amputated.
Hey, you should have cut the other knee. Take a bow.
He's getting pretty aggravated.
Hey, that leg was fine. You mean to tell me that this stuff happens all the time? Hey, this ain't my
Listen, fellas, stop treating pimples like a girl and start fighting them like a man, you know, huh?
Sunday, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday, Sunday.
Oh! Grapefruit, grapefruit, breakfast and for dinner, and at night some orange juice. Grapefruit, grapefruit, boys, I'm growing thinner, all my clothes are getting loose. No meat, no sweet, not a thing that's fried, just a taste of coffee with grapefruit on the side. No fish on Friday, it's more than I can stand.
Before the 18th day, I'll have a lily in my hand.
My wife is on a diet, and since she's on a diet, home isn't home anymore. No gravy and potatoes, just lettuce and tomatoes. Where are the pies I adore? Oh, 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 what a disgrace. I'm ashamed to look a grapefruit straight in the face. My wife is on a diet, and since she's on a diet, I'm losing a pound every day. On a diet, she tried to keep it quiet. Gee, but she looks like the deuce. What used to be her fender is growing thin and slender. Even her bumper is loose. Round her chassis, she's not the same. You can even see the bolts that hold up her frame. My wife is on a diet, and since she's on a diet, her gas tank is fading away. My wife is on a diet, and since she's on a diet, we don't get your food heavy anymore.
Here's a thought for one and all. Please don't spray those aerosols. Those propellants sure can change the atmosphere. Fluorocarbons rising high can cause damage to the sky. Stick deodorant may come back strong next year. Inert chlorine compounds rise into stratospheric skies, where the ozone blocks the ultraviolet rays. Chlorine atoms are released, and the ozone is decreased. It's because of all those aerosol sprays. Oh, gee, let's keep the O3, for it shields the ultraviolet from our skin. If you have to spray your hair, leave this earth and go somewhere, 'cause it's known the ozone layer's getting thin. If you have to paint some walls, think about spray aerosols, then dismiss the thought and brush or roll it on. Spray cans are convenient things, but the facts are threatening. Someday all that ozone filter may be gone. Well, the scientists have shown there's depletion of ozone, and refrigerants are helping it along. When an air conditioner leaks, it's the stratosphere it seeks, and it lets the ultraviolet come in strong. Oh, gee, let's keep the O3 and cut down malignant growths on our skin. Those air fresheners smell sweet, but propellants, I repeat, let the ultraviolet radiation in.
Don't put it in your mouth. You don't know where it's been. Don't assume it's candy for a minute. Don't take take it from the ground or from a strange old man. Other kids have vanished when they did it. Don't bring it in the house because it's not a toy. Don't you ever point it at your sister. Go put it in your room. I'll wash your mouth with soap.
Then I'll put you two in separate corners.
Did you bring enough for everyone?
Keep it to yourself or share or share.
Go upstairs and think of what you've done.
You're just not my kid. I swear,
I swear, I swear, I swear.
Don't swing that thing around. You just might poke an eye.
Wipe that grin before it sticks forever.
Don't leave it on the floor or feed it to the dog. If you break it, you won't get another.
How many times do I have to tell you? In one ear and out the other.
Don't try talking with your mouth full.
You're behaving like your father. If you want to grow up healthy, knock it off and put it down. Keep it clean and safe for later. And don't you put it in your mouth.
Don't put it in your mouth.
What
if you should choke, even though you didn't choke the last time? You jump right off the bridge because the neighbor did. You should try to make your brain work sometime.
Let me see your hands. Both hands, both sides.
Stop that slipping now and blow and blow.
And what is best for you is best for me. Don't ask why or how. Just go, just go, 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 just go. If you don't want to eat, we'll find someone who will.
Starving kids in India will love it. And you'll just go to bed and stay there for a week or put it in your mouth and swallow it.
How many times do I have to tell you? In one ear and out the other.
Don't try talking with your mouth full.
Your father. If you want to grow up healthy, knock it off and put it down. Keep it clean and safe for later. And don't you put it in your mouth.
Pier, drinking tubes of ice cold beer with a bucket full of prawns upon me knees. Well, I swallowed the last prawn, I had a technicolor yawn, and I chundered in the old Pacific Sea. Drink it up,
drink it up,
drink it up,
crack another dozen tubes and prawns with me.
If you want to throw your voice, well, you won't have any choice than to chunder in the old Pacific Sea. I was sitting in the surf when a mate of mine called Murph asked if he could crack a tube or two with me. Well, old Murph had barely swallowed it when he went for the big bark, and he chundered in the old Pacific Sea. Oh, drink it up,
drink it up,
drink it up,
drink it up.
Crack another dozen tubes and prawns with me. If you want to throw your voice, well, you won't have any choice than to chunder in the old Pacific Sea.
Oh, I've had liquid laughs in bars, and I've hurled from moving cars, and I've chucked when and where it suited me. But if I could choose a spot to regurgitate me lot, well, I'd chunder in the old Pacific Sea.
Oh, drink it up,
drink it up,
drink it up,
crack another dozen tubes and prawns with me.
If you want to throw your voice, well, you won't have any choice than to chunder in the old Pacific Sea.
Oh, drink it up,
drink it up,
drink it up,
drink it up,
crack another dozen tubes and prawns with me.
I tore up the carpet, dug up the grass. I buried the canary, put down the cat. There's nothing left in this lonely house. I must be allergic, allergic to you. I used to get turned on, by the smell of your perfume. I have an anaphylactic shock now, when you walk in the room. I'm so reactive to everything you do. I must be allergic, allergic to you.
I wake up wheezing, I go to bed sneezing. I'm addicted to antihistamines. My face is covered in cortisone cream. If I don't use this puffer, then I'll turn blue.
I'm allergic to you. When you kiss me,
ooh, when you kiss me,
I get itchy eyes.
Itchy, 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 itchy eyes.
When you lay down beside me, I break out in hives. There's nothing left in this empty house. I must be allergic, allergic to you. I must be allergic, allergic to you.
I get sugar diabetes. I get sugar diabetes. I got too much love and one sweet kiss. Sugar diabetes is on my list. Last night when sweet baby kissed me, I started talking all out of my head. Well, everything looked like a candyman. My eyes start flaming red. I get sugar diabetes. I get sugar diabetes. I got too much sweetness from one sweet kiss. Sugar diabetes is on my list. Just stick your finger in my coffee. Well, the teardrops are waiting to dream. Well, if you just give yourself a running start, run smack dab into me. I get sugar diabetes. I get sugar diabetes. I got too much sweetness from one little kiss. Sugar diabetes is on my list. Time I see my baby passing by, my arms shot candy and my sweet tooth cry. You know I love you, baby, cause you were meant for me. You got more sugar in one kiss than a Baby Ruth factory. I get sugar diabetes. I get sugar diabetes. I got too much sweetness from one little kiss. Sugar diabetes is on my list. I get sugar diabetes. I get sugar diabetes. I get sugar diabetes. Whoa.
Okay, hi everybody. Welcome back. Hope you enjoyed the 4th. Hope you're okay. A lot of things bad can happen on the 4th. Sometimes you need to go to the doctor. That's why we're here today. I'm paying tribute to the medical profession. Every time I have any kind of interaction with them at all, they always leave me smiling. Because they're great people, for one. They're competent. And it's just good to know that they're there. I mean, some people may not appreciate them, the bean counters, etc. Let's not get started on that. Let's just say that without them, we'd be a whole lot sicker than we already are. And we're plenty sick as it is. So, you know, it does all start pretty deceptively. From the album Deceptive Bends. Do you like that segue there? That was pretty good, huh? Deceptive Bends from 1977, 10cc, You've Got a Cold. The voice of Kui, I'm going to try this again, Kui Mayang, Achoo, Cha-Cha. it was a movie with Grace Chang doing the acting. If you can find the video, I'd advise you to waste your time somewhere else. The NHS song was The Amateur Transplants from London. That's a guy named Adam Kay. Sounds familiar, that name. I can't quite place it. Arthur Guitar Boogie Smith. Arthur Smith, I've heard that one someplace 100 times before. Anyway, that was the Hospitality Blues. Bop Pills from Skip Skipper, 1956. I think Skip is short for Macy, okay? Ray Sanders, there's a pill for that. The Wrong Foot Amputated. Oh, shit, I am so sorry, sir. My Wife is on a Diet from Al Katz and his Orchestra from 1929. That was probably the earliest version that I could find. And believe me, there's a boatload of them, okay? The Aerosol song was Sam Adams, the singing dermatologist. Don't Put It in Your Mouth, a word from our original and still our favorite healthcare system, good old mom. That was Uncle Banzai. Frankie Davidson from Sydney, Australia. Chunder in the old Pacific Sea. Come on, everybody. Allergic to You was Mel Borins and his trusty nurse Jones. Eddie Banks from 1956 again. 1956 was a busy year. Sugar Diabetes Blues. I got more.
I got the hospitality, hospitality blues. Now, I guess I'm just an old country hick, but all you folks that think you're sick better pay attention to what I've got to say. If you were going to go to some hospital, I suggest you think it over a little, because I'm still recuperating from my hospital stay. Back about a couple of months ago, I had a little touch of lumbago, and I called on my doc to see what he'd suggest. And he said, man, it's plain to see, the hospital's the place you ought to be, because what you need is good old-fashioned rest. Now, by the next morning, I felt pretty good, but I thought I had to go since he said I should, and I got to the hospital long about 9:45. Well, I got myself lost without much ado. Everybody I asked said they were lost, too. Those halls and doors just seemed to have no end. The woman that admits you told me I was late, turned right around and said, have a seat and wait. So that's what I did for about 2 hours and a half. This making you wait, they got perfected. I got the feeling I was being neglected till this man came up and said something about private or staff. From the questions he asked in that interview, I figured he was sent by the revenue, and if I couldn't have talked, I don't reckon they'd let me in. When he found out about my financial affairs, this nurse came in and took me upstairs and gave me a bed and a ward with 2 other men. Then she gave me this hospital gown to put on, and I figured she must not have thought I was grown. That thing was so short, I had to leave on my pants. When those other men told me what they had, my chances of getting any rest looked bad, cause one had consumption, the other the St. Vitus dance. Just about time I got settled in bed, this boy in white walked up and said, I'm Dr. Smith and I gotta run some blood tests. I said, wait a minute, fella, there's some mistake. My blood's all right, I just got the backache, and we had a big argument, and I come out second best. Now, he said he was a doctor, and I don't guess he'd lie, but I'm sure that the back of his ears weren't dry, and when I called him an intern, he said he wasn't that far yet. Everybody that's a doctor has to learn to be, but I don't like it much when they're learning on me, and from the way he was working, that's far as he'd ever get. After he'd taken all the blood I could spare, he got a sheet of paper and pulled up a chair and said, what brought you here? And I told him my 35-4. He must have asked me a million questions more about every kind of sickness I'd had before, and every question that I asked him, he just ignored. Ain't Susie died of dropsy, but I'll never know what the devil that's got to do with lumbago, and the questions about my private life made me mad. When he finally got off of that talking jag, he pulled out a little black doctor's bag and gave me the darndest physical I ever had. He beat on me with a hammer and tickled my feet and did some things I better not repeat, and about the time he finished, another boy in white walked in. I found out that he was an intern there, and I want you to know he pulled up a chair and we went through that whole darn mess again. By the time I'd repeated my every disorder, I felt just like a tape recorder, and I asked him if the main doctor even knew I was there. He said, "Why do you ask?" And I said, "Heck, if you don't hurry up, I'll be a nervous wreck." Then he said the main doctor was at a medical meeting somewhere. For the next 4 hours after his exam, I got a brain wave and one of them cardiograms and an x-ray picture of every bone in my body, I reckon. Whoever fixed my tray thought I was on a diet. There wasn't enough there to keep a small bird quiet, and it was made to taste so you wouldn't ask for seconds. As if I hadn't done seen enough action, those doctors came back and put me in traction, and the weights were so heavy they pulled me out of bed 3 times. By then, my back was really hurting, and when they put me on a board, I knew for certain that their definition of rest was different from mine. Well, they left the room, and I was dozing off. Then the man with consumption started to cough, and that other fella started having some sort of chill. When they finally got quiet, I dozed off again, and in a little while, that nurse was back in and woke me up just to give me a sleeping pill. About 5 minutes after the nurse had gone, somebody down the hall cut a radio on, and so I rocked and rolled for the rest of the night. About 6 the next morning, that boy was back in, put a tube in my stomach and drew blood again, and the nurse gave me a shot that knocked me out like a light. When I came to, I thought I was in a tomb, found out they were taking me in the operating room, and I figured if I didn't talk fast, my goose was cooked. Well, it took me quite a bit of yelling and cursing to make them realize they had the wrong person, and I was fighting to get my arms and legs unhooked. Well, I jumped up from there, and I must have looked cute, running down the hall in my birthday suit, but I won't worry about my dress not being too formal. Well, I got to my room and put my clothes on, and without a goodbye, I headed for home, and after 2 whole months, I still ain't back to normal. Now, if it offers any sort of consolation, if you're half dead or need an operation, then you go ahead, cause man, you got nothing to lose.
But if just a little rest is all you need, then if you go there, it's guaranteed you'll get the hospitality blues.
Exciting and new, you're surprised what comes out of you. So try a fast, try some fiber too. Let it float, it floats back to you.
Romping up my rear. If you don't want the cancer. Scoping is the answer. Do, 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 looking up my back door. Gastroenterologist went to frolic in my bowels. Saying take a ride on my flying scope. Do, 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 wondrous apparitions from narcotic medications. Do, 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 scoping up my back door. A ride on their flying scope. Do-do-do. The drug's back quite a wallop. Soon I'll have no polyp. Do-do-do. Scoping up my back door. Afraid of farts and make a noise. Release that back door. Oh joy. Listen to the happy latest echo round the room. Repeat the fun in 5 years. Meantime you'll have no fears. Do, 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 scoping up my back door.
Patients going down, doo-dee-doo, down, down. Patients going down, doobie-doo, down, down. Patients going down, doobie-doo, down, down. Waking up his heart to do. Don't take my tube away from me. I'm trying to breathe, oh, can't you see? Take it out and I'll turn blue. Cause waking up is hard to do. It's hard to do. They say that waking up is hard to do. Now I know that it's true. Don't say that this is the end. Instead of waking up, I think my incision's opened up again. I am in such misery. Feels like my eyes are taped and I can't see. Hard to do. They say that waking up is hard to do. Now I know that it's true. Don't say that this is the end. Instead of waking up, I think my incision's opened up again. Now I'm awake. It's hard to do. Down, down, down. Patients going down, doobie-doo, down, down. Patients going down, doobie-doo, down, down. Waking up is hard to do.
He's coming around, folks. He's gonna be okay and ready to play Symptom 6 of Beat the Reaper.
Last week, our patient successfully survived the common cold, measles, pneumonia, dengue fever, and the yaws.
And now, the big question. Are you ready to go on?
Where?
He's ready!
Now, our topless nurse, Judy, is wheeling our patient into the isolation ward.
Can you hear me in there? Okay, let's shoot him up. Now, patient, you have 10 seconds to tell us what you've got and beat the Reaper!
I'm shaking, feverish. My hands are all... yellow, my God, I've got jaundice.
It is! Give him a hand!
That's
awesome six. And now you've reached the final threshold. Here's the question. Are you ready for symptom number 7? Longer than any patient has ever survived before.
I want to go home.
Only one way to do that. Doctor, bring in the super shot.
Now, for the first time on Beat the Reaper, we're going for the big disease. The icebox is being unlocked by the president of the Armenian Medical Association, under whose strict supervision these toxins are being administered.
This is it. Doctor, give him that really big disease. Now, patient, can you hear me? You've got 10 seconds to tell us what you've got. And for the last time, beat the Reaper!
I think I feel... I don't know, whatever... Whatever it is, I want to die.
Oh, I'm terribly sorry. That's not correct. You didn't beat the Reaper. Doctor, bring the patient out and show the amphitheater audience and all the folks at home just what he's contracted.
According to my careful prosthesis, this man has the plague.
Thank you, Doctor.
You're welcome.
You've got the plague. Well, isn't he a good sport? We'll be back in just a moment with our next patient, but first...
Exsanguination, exsanguination, exsanguination blues.
Now gather around, folks, and listen to me. Pay attention and you'll agree, I got a story that's bound to make you weep. I always did hate like the Dickens when I had to get up with the chickens. I'm a guy that really likes his sleep. Up till this year I managed to pass, never went to an 8 o'clock class. Why go to class if you like your sleeping better? But last September the worm she turned, a new kind of routine had to be learned, cause I became a bona fide bloodletter. Now I'm at the hospital way before 8. I have to get there and exsanguinate. I'll tell you, folks, this life can get you down. Knowing the value of the acid base rarely ever tells you how to treat a case, but the chart's got to be right when the wheels make rounds. So you dash on the ward and check the yellow sheet, and written right down there, plain and neat, is every test they can think of for you to do. There's an FBS and a BSP, a BUNCANP, NAKCL, and CO2. You have a lot of calculations to make to figure out how much blood it'll take, and your answer comes out something like 100 cc. As if you didn't have no cause to act quick, some nurse is telling you to get on the stick. She's waiting to take your patient to EEG. But the thing guaranteed to make you sore is that you have to look on every floor before you find a syringe and a needle near the right size. Then you spend 10 minutes gouging for a vein. The patient's lying there racked with pain. For miles around you can hear his pitiful cries. But you finally get the blood and put it under oil and head for the lab like it's gonna spoil. And by the clock you see you're done out of time. You go running down the hall and around the curve. The girl sees you and says, "You got your nerve. Don't you see, boy, you done way past the deadline." Now you beg and plead and try to get her to take it, but she's got willpower and you can't shake it. She feels for sure that she's gonna get the last laugh. But a little smile comes over your face, cause you got a hold card and it's an ace. You tell her this is something special for the chief of staff.
Exsanguinate, 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 and if you see you're gonna be late, telephone the laboratory, give the girls a hard luck story, tell them all must wait while you exsanguinate.
Now, I had a patient by the name of Joe. There's never been another man I know that hated to get stuck half as bad as he did. At the sight of a needle, large or small, you'd hear him all up and down the hall. He'd get shook up and almost flip his lid. Now, we had old Joe up on 3 West that finally got old soul to rest, but while he was here, we knew him like a book. When he died, he didn't need to confess what we hadn't determined anybody could guess. We just sent along his chart for St. Pete to have a look. His chief complaint was kidney colic, but he had some problems that were metabolic, and every metabolite over there just went A. We drew so much blood that he got anemic, his skin got pale and his heart ischemic, and with all those needles, Joe was in bad shape. So we started replacing all the blood that was drawn till he no longer had any blood of his own, and by that time he was so weak he didn't even care. Then somebody said, well, why transfuse him? It'd be much simpler if you didn't use him, have the blood bank send it to the chemistry lab from there. For a while this plan worked out just fine. It was easy on Joe and it saved me time. Then the blood bank said we'd used all the blood they had. So once again bloodletting was resumed, and old Joe knew that he was doomed. The day he wrote his last request was kinda sad. Now this request struck some as funny. He wished to be buried with the dummy, a 15-gauge needle and a large syringe. But I knew what Joe was planning to do, cause each day his hostility grew, and in this way he'd have eternal revenge. So he passed on to his salvation, direct result of exsanguination, but the wheels never would admit that he was in shock. Cause the metabolites had shown their talents, and when he died in balances. Cause of death, they signed him out as a crock. His epitaph says, here lies old Joe. He should have lived long time ago when folks didn't understand chemistry quite so well. Now, if you ever want to get yourself a fright, just go by old Joe's grave some night. You'll hear him laughing that poor old dummy yell.
Exsanguinate, exsanguinate. Exsanguinate, and if you see you're gonna be late, telephone the laboratory, give the girls a hard luck story, tell them all must wait while you exsanguinate.
You better draw that blood and get it down to the lab.
Lungs go whoosh, help you breathe. Kidneys filter, make your pee. Gut digests all your food and turns it into poo. The heart fills up with lots of blood, pumps it out like love, dub, dub. But there's one thing that no one knows. What does the spleen do? Secret male uterus. What the spleen do? Magic powers. What the spleen do? Hati 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 ho. Possibly a backup tongue. Hati 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 ho. What the spleen do? Vestigial fin. What does the spleen do?
Big blue veins. Lymphy nodes, lots of blood and lots of holes, kind of shaped like Brazil, and the texture such a thrill. Your pulp is red, so beautiful, like a kidney in disguise. If you can live without your spleen, can your spleen live without you?
How could your spleen live without you?
What does a spleen do?
Scholars for your extra teeth. What does spleen do? Making babies. Babies, what does spleen do?
Third eye.
What does spleen do? What does spleen do?
Went to McDonald's today. Don't ask me what I just ate. It's already too late. Don't judge, I'll never tell. I trade my health for some fries. If you ask, I will lie. I wasn't looking for this. Now my health's in the way. Your stare was holding. Symptoms of pain were showing. SOB like my chest was blowing. What you think is happening, baby? I have a chest pain. And this is crazy. It's a beer and crushing. Home emergency. It's hard to look right. I need some morphine. So here's a number. Dial it quickly. I have a chest pain. And this is crazy. It's a beer and crushing. Call emergency. All my friends and family tried to warn me. So here's a number. Dial it quickly. You took your time with the call. I took no time with the fall. Thought it was nothing at all. This pain won't fade away. This fatigue can't be real. I thought it was just that one meal. I didn't know I would feel it. This pain's in my way. Your stare was holding. The symptoms of pain were showing. SOB like my chest was blowing. What you think is happening, baby? I have a chest pain. And this is crazy. It's very crushing. Call emergency. It's hard to look right. I need some morphine. So here's a number. Dial it quickly. I have a chest pain. And this is crazy. It's a beer and crushing. Call emergency. All my friends and family tried to warn me. So here's a number. Dial it quickly. I ate all my junk food. I feel so bad. I feel so bad. I feel so, so bad. Can't believe I ate all. And I feel so bad. And you should know that. This pain is so, so bad. Friends and family tried to warn me. So here's a number. Dial it quickly. I have a chest pain. And this is crazy. It's beer and crushing. Call emergency. It's hard to look right. I need some morphine. So here's a number. Dial it quickly. I ate all the junk food. I'm so bad. I feel so bad. I feel so.
Please welcome back today from Washington, the independent congressional candidate from the 33rd District of Texas, Dr. Robert Payne. Dr. Payne, welcome. Good to have you back.
Thank you very much. Thank you.
We are having some difficulty understanding some of the language of these bills is complicated. Let me read a section, and I want you to see if you can help me make sense of this. Here's what it says. This is in reference to Medicare hospital patients, and I quote, "For discharges occurring in fiscal years 2011-2012, the Secretary shall determine an applicable percentage increase for purposes of subparagraph A using a tenuous linear sliding scale ranging from 25% for low-volume hospitals with 200 or fewer discharges or individuals entitled to or enrolled for benefits under Part A in the fiscal year to 0% for low-volume hospitals with greater than 1,500 discharges of such individuals in the fiscal year." This seems complicated. Now, you say this is easy to understand. In plain, simple layman's terms, what does that section mean?
The way I see it, in the check, and then in, I guess, really from both the audit and the Senate. Now, you combine the two, and they're in line with what we've seen so far. I just don't find that to be that hard to follow.
Let me try another one.
All right.
Yeah. Well, it could be clear to the audience and it is to me, but I'm going to read another one, and let's see if... All right, this is from the House bill. I'm going to quote from the House bill. It says, "The provisions of Section 2646 shall apply to group health insurance coverage in the same manner as such provisions apply to individual health insurance coverage, except that in any reference to Section 2742F is deemed a reference to Section 2712F. Now, that just seems like government gobbledygook to me, but you think that makes sense?
I wouldn't make it up, but I do want to say this. I used to. I don't need to anymore, but I've got to. I've got to try. And again, when I say try, I'm talking about all of us. And when I say all of us, I mean some. Don't you think that it, you know, what we have too, and I guess maybe that in itself is something?
You want to run that by me one more time?
I could hold it in the mirror and see if you could read it forward, but I go, well, but then you did what we have, and then I guess really has that to note. And I will say this, for Madison County, that's the second time I've said that in 2 weeks.
Well, Dr. Payne, I got to be honest with you. I think you
I'm a busy guy. I'm trying to run from Congress. I mean, for Congress.
There's aspirin, adrenaline, and also aminophylline, amphetamine, adenosine, augmentin, and rifampicin, amoxicillin, penicillin, heparin, and warfarin, and estrogen, progestogen, and canesten, and chloroquine. There's bendroflumethiazide, and also cyclophosphamide, and metoclopramide, acetazolamide, tropicamide, loperamide, amiloride, and cyclozine, and furosemide. And if you're up the duff, then you'd best avoid thalidomide. There's lithium, fluoxetine, and also amitriptyline, paroxetine, digoxin, GTN, and azathioprine, miconazole, atenolol, and also chloramphenicol, and if you want to overdose, there's always paracetamol. There's nitinus, and lisphenytoin, Zyrtec, and diazepam, and lithium, temazepam, midazolam, clonazepam, testosterone, aldosterone, and valium, and insulin, and lignocaine, and pyriton, and ventolin, and ritalin. There's kefuroxin, kefotaxin, kefalexin, kephedrine, and metronidazole, and ketoconazole, trimethoprim, erythromycin, gentamicin, macrolides, mifedipine, and Actifed, and Sudafed, and Calpol with no sugar in. There's phenylzine, and hyoscine, ranitidine, cimetidine, potassium, and calcium, and every kind of vitamin, and pethidine, and methadone, and speakercane, and heroin, and cannabis, and Prozac, morphine, alcohol, and nicotine. You must remember all these drugs, the names of which you've learnt from me. Or fuck them all and get a job in orthopedic surgery.
When you wake up in the morning, it's 12:45, and you want to have a little fun. You brush your teeth. You brush your teeth. When you wake up in the morning, it's 12:45, and you want to find something to do. You brush your teeth. You brush your teeth. And when you wake up in the morning, it's 2:45, and your mind starts humming, twiddly-dee. You brush your teeth, you brush your teeth. When you wake up in the morning, it's 3:45, and you think you hear a knock on your door. You brush your teeth, you brush your teeth. When you wake up in the morning, it's 4:45, and you just can't wait to come alive. You brush your teeth, you brush your teeth, you brush your teeth, you brush your teeth.
On the last block of lab, Dr. Casey gave to us 12 hypoglossal, 11 spinal sessory, 10 Las Vegas glossopharyngeal, 8 vicocclear, 7 hatofacial, 6 abducens trigeminal, 4 trochlear, oculomotor, 2 optic fibers, and a plain olfactory nerve.
You see, your brain is divided into two hemispheres.
Yeah.
Your left controls your right side, and your right controls your left side, and they're both tied together in a neat little package
by the totally awesome corpus callosum.
Well, you peel away that meninges layer, wipe off that cerebrospinal fluid, and you're looking right at the four lobes of the brain.
You know the ones I'm talking about. Sing it with me now.
Frontal, temporal, parietal, occipital.
And each one's got a very special job, yeah. Exactly what to do. As you're watching my disembodied head, your rods and cones are sending that stimuli to your thalamus, which passes it to your occipital lobe,
which of course processes visual information.
As you're listening to these words right here, the vibrations of the cilia down in your ears are sending those impulses along to your temporal lobe. And I know right now you're probably thinking, Al, how can these different parts of the brain communicate with each other? Well, to answer that question, I'm gonna have to break it down to a microscopic level.
This is a neuron, a funky, funky neuron. You got your axon on the one side, you got your dendrites on the other.
See, there's
and legs receive a signal from another neuron, which then starts a chemical reaction in the nucleus, creating a nerve impulse which travels down a long, long myelin-coated strand, where it hits neurotransmitter molecules in the vesicle of the axon terminal. And those neurotransmitters jump a millionth of an inch across the synaptic gap and smash into the receptors of the dendrites of another neuron, connecting neurons to neurons to neurons to neurons all across your entire brain. The more you use your brain, the more connections you're gonna make, and the smarter you're gonna be. I'm talking about your brain. You gotta hand it to your brain. Yeah, that's your brain.
So I guess the point of all this is, the brain is one of the most important organs in your entire head. So wherever you are, whatever you're doing, always, always, always wear a helmet. That's all I'm really trying to say here. Okay, well, that's it. Thanks for coming. Goodbye. Goodbye. Goodbye, goodbye, goodbye.
So anyway, I'm a real medical groupie this week because I had two things done. One was, they're both routine, but one was non-invasive. The other, boy, was that invasive. So we will move on about that. Also, I got to point out that one of really making me a medical groupie was 10 years ago today, July 8th, 2008. I went into the hospital. They sliced me open end to end, reached in and pulled out what they said was my kidney. They said it was the size of a football. I never saw it. All right, I don't know where it came from. I was nowhere near Tennessee, okay? And if anybody says something else, it's not true. So anyway, they treated me like a king, and I just did not deserve it, and they were just the most wonderful people I've ever met. Tear falls down. Anyway, here's the playlist. Doug Harrell from 1955, The Hospital Blues, The Colon Song from Singing Patient. I was singing when they were giving me those drugs, I'll tell you. You can blame that song on Carla Olbrich, all right? Ms. Butt Medler, after that, Looking Up My Back Door. Waking Up Is Hard to Do from the Laryngospasms. Say it with me now, Laryngospasms. Does that feel better? Firesign Theater, Beat the Reaper, The Exsanguination Blues, and it doesn't sound like fun. That was Doug Harrell again from 1955. Same single as the other one. That's Losing Enough Blood to Die, okay? Bleeding Out, got it? The Harvard Medical School Satire Team, after that, I guess. What Do the Spleen Do? I have yet to hear any kind of coherent explanation. Please don't tell me now. It would ruin a lot for me. Call Me Crazy was Cara Paul, one of 1,500,000 medical student satires about medical work and stuff. That was called Call Me Crazy from Cara Paul, riffing on Call Me Maybe from Carly Rae Jepsen. You go look for more if you want. I've had enough. Derwood Fincher, Mr. Double Hulk, meets Hucklebucky, whatever his name is. Real thing. Amateur Transplants again, the drug song. Brush Your Teeth was Raffi, and you don't be waking those kids up every hour to brush their damn teeth. I don't care what they taught you in Texas. The Brain Song from Weird Al, and The Cranial Nerves of Christmas from Taylor Williams. A couple more about if you took yourself easy and were more careful, your health would be a lot better. Bye.
Don't listen to your Walkman in the middle of the street. The middle of the street. The middle of the street. Don't listen to your Walkman in the middle of the street, or a truck will come up and knock you off your feet. Ba-dum, bop, bop, bop. Don't listen to your Walkman on a railroad track. A railroad track. A railroad track. Don't listen to your Walkman on a railroad track, or a train will come up and smack you on the back. Ba-da, bop, bop, bop. Don't listen to your Walkman on a runway, a runway, a runway. Don't listen to your Walkman on a runway, or you'll get landed on by a TWA. Ba-da, bop, bop, bop.
Wow. When your day has a cloudy sky and all your troubles just won't you fly, stick your head in a garbage can and black out all your doggone troubles away. Blackout, blackout, everybody blackout, 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 everybody please. Charm your cares with a snappy yell, bury your blues in a deep dark well, stick your head in a garbage can and blackout all your doggone troubles away. Blackout, blackout, everybody blackout, 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 everybody please. When you're feeling mighty low, the best darn remedy that I know, stick your head in a garbage can and blackout all your doggone troubles away. Blackout, blackout, everybody blackout, 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 everybody please. If and you're sad, don't mope around, just open your mouth and go to town, stick your head in a garbage can and blackout all your doggone troubles away. When your blues are blasted down into a garbage can, you will find that blacking out has left you feeling zorch, man. Come on, cats, and let her go. Watch your derned old worries blow. Stick your head in a garbage can and black out all your doggone troubles away, way, way. Black out all your derned old troubles away.
Oops, that lettuce is murder, cats.
I'm doing okay. I had a good day. I'm doing okay. I had a good day. I gotta say, I had a real good day. I didn't throw up. I didn't throw up. About a quarter to four, I almost threw up. But I didn't throw up. I had a real good day. I'll wait until I tell you about what happened to me. I was on my way to work today. I was getting on the subway and suddenly everybody didn't throw up. My brother didn't die. My mother didn't die. Come on! My father didn't die. My sister didn't die. Mr. Greenblatt died. I had a real good day. I didn't get hit by a bus today. It was coming down the street. I was more than a mile away, eating lunch in the park. Hey, 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 come on. I'm doing okay. Hey, 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 big man. I had a good day. I didn't throw up. I had a real good, I had a real good day.
Come on!